Thank you, Mr. Hopper, and good morning, everyone. Well, in a couple of days, we'll be observing the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets pictures the dramatic return of Jesus Christ to the earth. You know, there are many passages in the Bible that describe all of the events and happenings leading up to the return of Christ. Talks about a lot in the book of Revelation, Matthew 24, Luke 21, many of the Old Testament prophecies. Will you and I be ready for these times? The increase in wars is one of the major signs that the end of this age is drawing nigh. The leaders of the world are striving to find solutions to end war, but have had little success. Once troubles settle down in one part of the globe, other wars arise. This past week, we've seen another outbreak of rioting in the Middle East with the killing of a U.S. ambassador in Libya. You know, just terrible times. And Mr. Rhodes, in a recent letter, talked about how just before the feast, so many times, there's major events take place in world news and in the world. And eventually we know there will be a great war centered around Jerusalem before Christ returns. We don't know when that'll be. His followers have been looking for him to return almost since he went back up to heaven and was resurrected. Even Christ could not answer that question in Matthew 24:36. Let's turn there. Matthew 24:36. 24, verse 36. He's talking to his disciples, and he says, "But of that day and hour no one knows, no, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." This is something that God has held to himself. You know, but our job, even though we don't know when it's specifically going to be, is to always stay ready for Christ's return. But prior to Christ's return, all of these events are going to be periods of great stress. You know, Matthew 24, which we'll look at in a little more detail, describes many of the stresses that will come upon the world. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, we read about these perils. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. "But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come." My margin says these are times of stress. We all know how stress is so hard on us when we hit times of stress. This same Greek word that talks about perilous is used in Matthew 8:28 to describe the demons who possess men as exceedingly fierce. Strong's defines it as difficult, harsh, violent. Daniel prophesied back in Daniel 12, verse 1. You want to turn there? Daniel 12. Daniel 12, verse 1. "At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince, who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who's found written in the book. So here we have a province of deliverance in these times of trouble. But in Luke 21, verse 25, also talking about these end times, Luke 21, verse 25. "And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken." So here we see even great signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, how that will play out, we don't know for sure, but we have these prophecies. But 26 talks about men having heart failure, being so stressful. In Matthew 24, as I mentioned earlier, you know, Christ went into some detail of some of those troubles at that time. Matthew 24, verse 3. Matthew 24, verse 3. I'll read down through 12. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." So we see a lot of deception taking place. "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places." And then it says, "All these are just the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. And then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." So it's going to be a time of great testing, even for God's people. It talks about ruthless persecution here in verses 9 through 12. It talks about all of the deception, people saying that they are Christ when they are not. False prophets, all of these things coming about at this time. You know, how will we be able to stand up to persecution? We haven't had real persecution like we've seen about in the past that have happened to God's people in the past. How will we be able to tell those who, the imposters, from the real Christ? You know, it's going to be a test for all of us at that time. But God will promise us deliverance for guidance. In the United Church of God booklet, "Are We Living in the End Times?" page 11, the writer said, "So Christ was not referring to the periodic catastrophes such as wars, famines, disease epidemics, and earthquakes that occasionally strike, but to a unique time when such events would steadily worsen. We should consider three important questions when analyzing whether events are the signs of the end time Jesus Christ described. First, could they simply be part of the normal ebb and flow of disasters people have experienced throughout history? Second, are all the signs Jesus mentioned in place? And third, is there solid evidence the prophesied trends and conditions are inexorably increasing and intensifying?" And I think that's key to knowing when are we moving into. Bible talks about a 3.5-year period of great trouble, when all of these great troubles will happen prior to the return of Christ. But as I read these prophecies and think about if I'm alive at that time, I wonder how well can I endure all these stresses that will be going on. Even with God's protection, it will still be stressful upon us, especially if we're one of those that are persecuted, as it predicts. Some will suffer. You know, I've just gone through a few little minor catastrophes in my life. One time my house flooded, and I remember the sinking feeling of seeing that water's flowing through my house. And had extended power outages from storms. Mr. Shipley recently had this catastrophe of fire out in Creek County. But these things soon pass. The damage gets repaired, and life goes on. And it seems the same with the wars. You know, things flare up, and then they die down, and then something will come up somewhere else. And we have the earthquakes. So we have all of these things going on, but it's an ebb and a flow. But there's got to be a trend. We see that the statistics I read on earthquakes, they are going up. There's more earthquakes. We see the moral breakdown in our society. Will we swing back, as we have in the past, back to a more moral period? We don't know. But if that trend just keeps going and going, it's drawing nearer and nearer to that time. But, you know, how will you and I deal with these events that the Feast of Trumpets depicts? So if we are among the living prior to Christ's return, how will we be prepared to deal with these events happening and the resulting perilous times like the world has never seen? Today, I will look at some ways we can prepare for the end time. It's going to be my focus today. And these aren't any are things that we hear all the time. I just wanted to cover them again here prior to the Feast of Trumpets. We've got to always stay spiritually strong, to put God first. Like I mentioned, my house, the sinking feeling of seeing my house destroyed by flood. But we can't put those physical possessions ahead of our relationship with God. Read about the rich young man in Matthew 19. If you'd like to turn there, Matthew 19, verse 16. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." And he said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So he told him to keep God's commandments. And most of us, all of us, I hope, are striving to do that, to obey God in our lives. But the young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" And he said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You know, could you, being forced out of our homes, our comfortable homes, and our lifestyle in these end times, could that deter any of us? You know, can our comfort can't be more important. You know, we might have to live somewhere without air conditioning, or maybe without heat, maybe even lack a roof over our heads for a time. We don't know what all of the prophecies, even though God promises to deliver us, he doesn't say how. We probably will not be able to just stay in our comfortable settings as the world is falling apart around us. We've got to keep God's Spirit alive. We've got to stay in an attitude of repentance and never neglect the Bible study. We know we need to study daily, to pray daily, to fast occasionally, and to meditate upon that, to think, continually be focused on those things. And we've got to stick together. We've got to stay close to one another. You know, our own families can't be more important. Due to circumstances, I've spent quite a bit of time with my physical family. And I tell you, it's quite an experience sometimes getting back into dealing with all of the worldly attitudes that are, can sometimes be in our families. And all of the jealousies and envies and all of the things that sometimes can get started within families. But, you know, Matthew 19, on down to verse 29, talking to the rich young man, said, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my namesake shall receive a hundredfold and inherit everlasting life." So we're promised great rewards if we can turn away from our own families. And that's hard to contemplate, to see our families going through these times of great trial. Secondly, we've got to be prepared to endure. You know, it talks about this great increase in persecution on the people of God that we read about in Matthew 24. The Apostle Paul went through great persecution and trouble. He wrote about that in 2 Corinthians. Turn there, 2 Corinthians 11. Corinthians 11, verse 22. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 22. We'll read down through 28. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deeps. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. So here we see Paul went through tremendous stresses in his life, but he remained faithful to God, and that will need to be our intent all the way, is to endure all of these troubles. He wrote about more of his trials in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. We don't know quite what that was. A messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. So it was a very serious issue that was going on, or illness, something of his body that was defective, or it could have been other things. We don't know. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And so this will really test us. These times will really test us, but we have to put our trust that even in our weakness, that we will be strengthened and brought through these times. We read about the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. In the summary statement about their lives. Hebrews 11, verse 36. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. So they're still waiting on the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So they went through all of these, endured all of these things, and they're still awaiting the promise. And we too will need to endure the time of the end. Revelation 20, verse 4, we won't turn there, it talks about some will even be beheaded at these times. Some of Christ's people are God's people. Third thing is we've always got to see past all the troubles, to have the end in sight. The Feast of Trumpets pictures the return of Christ. We've got to have a very strong desire to be there. As the writer of Hebrews said, to be made perfect with those Hebrew forefathers who went before and went through these things. It's one verse about the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15. Read through 32. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, For that trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. So here's another reference to this trumpet. These days, look forward to Revelation 11, verse 15. Revelation 11, verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." That has to be continually be on our mind, to be our focus. Back when Christ was talking about the end times in Matthew 24, verse 30. Matthew 24, verse 30. 30 and 31. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and He will send His angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So we see this blowing of these trumpets and the announcement of Jesus Christ's return. And so it's something there to always have that in sight. We've got to resolve to not let the perilous times stress us or discourage us from enduring whatever may happen. We must diligently desire the establishment of God's kingdom and picture that time of peace coming after all of the perilous and troubling times. It will be very easy to become discouraged in that situation. We've got to trust God. He promises us protection. We see that in Revelation 12, verse 13. Talks about how Satan will chase after God's people. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time, 3.5 years, from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. So here we're promised that God will care for us. Again, it may not be in great luxury like we may have been used to. And then, but in verse 17, not all will necessarily have this protection. And the dragon was enraged with the woman. He went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So, you know, hopefully we're in the first group, but some will not be. And so again, they may have to face some of these persecutions that the heroes of faith went through. Luke 21, verse 34. Luke 21, verse 34. Says, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it comes as a snare on all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore, and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, to stand before the Son of Man." So we've had reminders recently. Do not let the cares of life get us caught up. And Christ admonishes us to not get caught up in the cares of life so that we can be worthy to escape all these things. When the fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets is near, the world will be stressed. God's people will be impacted by these events. To endure, we will need to have our minds focused on God's kingdom that will follow, crying out continually, "Thy kingdom come." It's a part of the model prayer, to pray every day, "Thy kingdom come." We will need God's help to discern the false Christ and prophets from the truth so that we are not deceived. Stay prepared to endure the stresses of those perilous times by staying close to God through repentance and by knowing and trusting God's promises to protect His people. Then even the troubles that lead up to the sounding of that seventh trumpet and the return of Christ can be endured with confidence, hope, and joy because we know the end result, the establishment of God's kingdom.